for the love of goats. We are talking about everything goat. Whether you're a goat owner, a breeder, or just a fan of these wonderful creatures, we've got you covered. And now, here's Deborah Neiman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode. This is going to be a really informative episode and really helpful for people because it seems like every time somebody's goat coughs, they immediately run for the penicillin, assuming that it is pneumonia. And nothing could be further from the truth. There are so many reasons why a goat may cough. So we are joined today by Dr. Michael Passato, an assistant clinical professor of food animal medicine and surgery at Mississippi State University. He is board certified with the American Board of Veterinary Practitioners, specializing in food animal practice. And he has been with us before, and it's always so much fun to chat with him. So welcome back to the show today.
Awesome. Thanks, Deborah. I always love joining you.
This is such a good one because before we got on, I pulled out the vet text and was checking the chapters on respiratory illnesses. And basically, the longer the textbook, the longer the chapter on respiratory illnesses. And so one was 17 pages, one was 38 pages, one was 22 pages. So they're saying a lot more than just pneumonia. There's a lot of stuff that goes on in a goat's respiratory system. So let's go ahead and just start with pneumonia. Like, if a goat had pneumonia, what would you expect to see?
Yeah, that's, you know, a really great question. And to be honest, I think, you know, you nailed it on the head. Even pneumonia as a respiratory disease is very complicated. It's not straightforward, cut and dry. There are actually two kind of phases that go into pneumonia. There's viral pathogens that cause respiratory disease that can start the process of developing pneumonia and can almost look like what we would expect, quote unquote, pneumonia to look like. And then there's bacterial causes that come in with pneumonia that are going to cause the actual lung damage and the primary clinical signs associated with pneumonia. So looking at just pneumonia as what would be kind of classic pneumonia external clinical signs, the classic thing people want to go for is a cough. They want to say coughing equals pneumonia. And that, as you mentioned just now, there could be nothing farther from the truth. Coughing can be caused by thousands of different things, one of which could be possible pneumonia, but that's not going to be the top of my list for sure. The other thing people want to go for when they're thinking about pneumonia is an increased respiratory rate or breathing hard or heavy. I would say that just an increased rate, so increased breath per minute, is not going to be an accurate assessment for pneumonia. Now, when you talk about the quality of how they're breathing, are they breathing heavy? Are they struggling to breathe? Are they having shallow breath? That could definitely tilt you more towards the diagnosis of lung disease or lung pathology. The other thing that for me is really, really, really important when you're doing triage at home or when you're looking for possible pneumonia is to take a temperature. I can't stress enough taking a temperature, how valuable and important that is. When it comes to the temperature of a goat, we're looking anywhere from about 100.0 to 103.5 as normal. On a hot day, ambient temperature rise, 104 is not abnormal. But if you can take a temperature on your goat and you're getting 105.5, 106, 107, 108, we're probably going to start thinking that there's some kind of pathology going on. And if you couple that with things like respiratory effort being increased, plus having a cough, plus being sluggish and not eating, you know, plus separating themselves away from the rest of the goats and kind of putting themselves in a corner, then we start to kind of put the puzzle together that might be pneumonia. Now, nasal discharge would be another thing I'd look for. Again, I think that light cough could be misleading, though. Allergies can cause nasal discharge. Bugs and other foreign objects like grass awns or pieces of straw can cause nasal discharge. So I think that is something by itself that means nothing. Just like coughing by itself, it really means nothing, but you put together a more complete picture, including a temperature and other signs like increased respiratory effort, then we start to kind of put pneumonia on the table as something that could be there. But really, pneumonia, just as it's complicated when it comes to the pathogens, it's complicated when it comes to the presentation as well and how it looks.
Yeah, it's so ironic. In 20 years, I have had one goat with pneumonia. And the only reason I know it is because I got a necropsy on her when she died.
Exactly.
And when they said pneumonia, I was just like, what? Like, She never coughed, like not once. Like I was with her, you know, she never coughed. Like I even put my ear up to her chest. I heard nothing. Like,
right. And that's actually a great point that you bring up. Listening to the lungs, even with a stethoscope, may not be as sensitive for respiratory disease as we would like. So even me as a veterinarian, when I listen to those lungs, especially in a goat, if you think about how a goat breathes, you can hear the sounds of the goat breathing, but to hear something like a delicate crackle or wheeze that would indicate respiratory damage, that's challenging. That's even challenging with the stethoscope. So just by sound, it can be tough to kind of make that decision. And as you mentioned, some of these goats are hardy enough that they won't show any signs of clinical pneumonia until it's too late. And so much lung is damaged that they can no longer survive. So it's tough. It's a complicated disease.
So do you get the feeling that it's really common? I mean, if you're on Facebook, you think like everybody's goat's getting pneumonia. Like everybody's got pneumonia on a goat like every year.
Right. Yeah. I would say, to be honest, I think it's overdiagnosed in, you know, a lot of ways. And a lot overdiagnosed, I mean, I think a lot of people assume that they have it without knowing exactly if they do. The diagnostic procedure to actually test for pneumonia pathogens is very complicated. We have to collect samples from the, not lung tissue, but we put fluid down into the lungs classically, and we pull that fluid back up, and then we'll culture that for bacterial causes of pneumonia. So to actually get like a solid diagnosis of pneumonia with a bacteria that we can treat effectively can be very, very challenging. I think what we see a lot of is coughing goats, honestly. And I think that, like we've already said, coughing goats get diagnosed as pneumonia 9 times out of 10. The coughing goat is like the bane of my existence because honestly, it is so challenging to convince someone that it's not an infectious disease. Coughing can be caused by allergies. It can be caused by irritation. It can be caused by collars. I have a lot of clients like put collars on goats. Tracheal irritation at all, if that collar is constantly pulling on that goat, you're moving the goat with the collar, that could put enough irritation on the trachea that they'll start coughing. I've had animals that have like dusty feed or hay that has a little bit more dust to it than normal. And they start coughing, and it always, it's like, oh, the weather just changed and it must be pneumonia. Don't get me wrong. Weather change is going to put stress on an animal, and it could increase the possibility of an infectious disease. But just because the weather changed doesn't mean that now this cough is from pneumonia, especially going into springtime, fall time. We're looking at different allergens being in the air. I would say we don't have extensive research on every allergen that a goat could be exposed to just because it is a production animal. So we're not spending thousands upon thousands of dollars to bring goats in for allergy testing like we would on dogs, right, that are pets. And even our pet goats, we don't have the allergy testing that we need to look for that. So a lot of this could just be allergens. So I think definitely overdiagnosed, especially on the layperson side of things, utilizing things like cough or snotty nose discharge. And then, of course, reaching for treatment options when it's maybe not what we think it is.
Yeah. The most common reason that I see my goats cough is when they're burping up their cud. And it just doesn't quite come up the right way.
Exactly.
Because like they'll be laying there, you know, hanging out, burping up their cud, chewing. And then all of a sudden they're like, you know, and you're and like, then you see them like trying to swallow again. And then like, okay, got it. Like, I honestly think they're like the most talented creatures in the world. I have enough trouble with an esophagus that goes one way.
Exactly. I mean,
the fact that they have a bidirectional esophagus just is amazing to
me. Mind blowing. Well, and you're right. And I always say, you know, it goes down the wrong tube. And that happens sometimes when drinking water. It happens to us. It can happen to them. You know, I mean, not to say that goats and people are the same, but to be honest, we have similar anatomy besides the fact that our esophagus doesn't go both ways. So it's still possible because the trachea and the esophagus run so closely together, just like in humans, that things get accidentally in the wrong tube, whether it's cud, water, feed material, grass, a bug, right? They could swallow a bug. I've swallowed a bug. It's horrible. You know, you cough and cough and cough. So you have to kind of be careful going off of one isolated incident. And then there are times too, when if an animal did have respiratory disease, or if they had a virus of some kind, it's possible that there'll be some residual effects that take some time to heal. So a lot of people think, well, I treat it with antibiotics. My goat's not getting better. I'm going to put them on more antibiotics. But the reality is, if you have a cough for a long time, or if you had a diagnosed solid sign that was from something treatable, that treatment's going to take care of the pathogen, but not the inflammation necessarily. It may take a long time for that inflammation to come back, especially if there's re-inflammation happening or re-irritation. So things like collars, again, if I have someone who had a goat with a bad cough, I say remove the collar, let's keep it off until things go away. Because all we're going to do is continue to irritate that tissue and make it worse. So you have to kind of think about it in a commonsensical way as well.
Yeah, exactly. I guess since I have allergies myself and I cough kind of frequently and I blow my nose and stuff, it's super easy for me to understand the difference between allergies and sickness, or just, you know, oh, I had trouble swallowing.
Yeah, right, right.
And that's why I was choking and coughing. Somebody sent me a video one time of a goat choking. And she's like, what's wrong with my goat? And it was so obvious. Like, it, because you know how they're just like flinging their head from side to side because the food went down the wrong way. And I'm like, oh my gosh, well, your goat was choking.
Right, right.
Should be fine now.
Yeah. And that happens too. Even, you know, what we consider choke in horses, which is very common, you know, where they actually get something stuck in the esophagus. That happens in goats too. And they'll cough and try to hack it up and get it out. Just like if we choked on something, you know, got stuck in our esophagus or trachea, we want to get that thing out of there. So that choke is actually a great differential. If you've got an animal, especially flailing or acting panicked at all, that is something that I would put higher than pneumonia for sure. Now, could pneumonia come secondary to something like that, an episode like that? Absolutely. Anything that goes down into your trachea that shouldn't go in there, or if you have a violent coughing episode where you're coughing something up and you could potentially what we call aspirate it, then absolutely pneumonia could be a secondary problem that comes along. But then you'll have kind of a day that you're like, oh, okay, now they have a fever 4, 5, 6 days later, and they had this episode, you know, 5 days ago. I bet you that something went down the wrong pipe and now we've got a little infection. And that's when you, again, off of a fever or an animal not eating, an animal acting depressed, when you don't look at them. Livestock are tricky. Goats, sheep, cows, they're kind of tricky. If you stare at them and they know you're looking at them, they're going to be alert and happy. They're going to be looking at you too, right? Their adrenaline's kind of pumping. They're like, ooh, are you bringing me food? Or are you here to talk? Are you here to hang out? So what you kind of have to do is play sneak attack. So if you're suspicious your animal might have pneumonia, try not to let them know you're in the barn or you're around the corner. Just look at them at rest. If they are laying there looking horrible, their eyes half closed, snot coming out of their nose, just looking like, oh, I feel like death, warmed over. And then you walk around the corner, you're like, hey, Misty, and she pops up and she runs over to you. She's kind of putting on a face for you. So that's one way you can kind of try and trick them a little bit, is to sneak up on them. Also, you can tell how they're breathing, because sometimes when they're all there worked up trying to eat at the same time, you can't tell one versus the other. And they're so worked up and you really can't tell an animal how they're breathing when they're eating. I wouldn't go off of if they're breathing heavy while they eat, especially if they have competition. That's not a thing. So look at them from around the corner, look at them from, you know, the doorway before you go in, before they notice. You can even count on your watch, your second hand. You can count how fast they're breathing, but you can also pay attention to the quality of their breath. So are they like really struggling, or is it just more of a natural kind of in and out resting kind of flow? That would be my recommendation if you're suspicious or you're thinking, man, I don't know this, you know, I really think it has pneumonia. I know that Deborah said it may not be pneumonia. Check those things. And then when you get in there with the animal, get that temperature. That's going to be key. Just going off that cough, bad idea.
Yeah. And the breathing too. Long time ago, I got really freaked out one time. I had a goat. I had put her into the kidding barn already. And I walked in there and she was laying down and she sounded like Darth Vader. Yeah. Like her breathing was like... And I was like, oh my gosh, what's wrong?
Right.
You know, I run for the thermometer because I think that's like the most abnormal breathing ever. And had no temperature. And when she stood up, then she was totally fine. Her breathing was completely normal.
Right.
She was carrying 4 kids. Correct.
Exactly. I was just going to say, her diaphragm was so compressed that she could barely get her breath in there. That is really a great point to bring up, that you need to know too. And this goes back to reproductive management. I think we both are in agreement that reproductive management is really good, knowing kind of where your animals are in their reproductive life. Because if you don't know that your animal's pregnant with 4 kids, or even that she's pregnant at all, you might think, oh, that's pneumonia, we got to treat it. But knowing that, okay, I'm moving this animal into the kidding barn, Likely she's going to have multiples because she's a goat. When she lays down and you hear that raspy breath, don't panic. Although I love that you took your temperature because that's really what you should do first. That's the first thing to do. So that's, I think that's such a great story to tell because it's so accurate.
Yeah. And it just blew me away how when she stood up, her breathing was just completely quiet again. So like, that's such a big part of it is, you know, to watch them. And what I always tell people, like, pneumonia is a very serious disease. Does this animal act like they're very sick?
Exactly.
I mean, if it's just a cough, it could be anything.
Exactly. Exactly.
So if somebody does have, you know, say a fever of 105, 106 degrees, and they're coughing or have some other respiratory symptoms, is there a good, something good to try before calling the vet?
Yeah. So what's really interesting about goats, what's kind of challenging about goats, to be honest, is that if you're looking at what medications are on label, so, you know, we talk a lot about on label versus extra label. So basically every medication in the United States has a label for a certain species of animal for a certain indication, and it'll tell you exactly how much to give for that animal at this indication, for this indication, et cetera. And so that makes life a lot easier when you have over-the-counter antimicrobials that you're going to use and you're going to follow. However, for goats, there's no such thing as an on-label medication for pneumonia that is over-the-counter. There are on-label there's one on-label medication that is a prescription-only medication from the veterinarian, and that's a product called Naxxel. It has goats on the label, which is unique because, again, there are no other products in the United States that are labeled for goats for pneumonia. If we're going to extrapolate and use other products, it's hard for me to say to grab one off the shelf because technically, legally, I can't say to do that because there is a product on label. So I would definitely recommend if you're really concerned about your goat having pneumonia, call that veterinarian. They can give you advice to, if they can't get there for whatever reason and they need you to triage until they get there, they may tell you what antibiotic to use. Here's the kicker. If you just grab any antibiotic, let's say penicillin. Penicillin, unfortunately, it's really, really good about targeting gram-positive organisms. Basically, that just means that it goes after bacteria that are going to stain a certain way if you would stain them on a slide. What it's not great about going after are gram-negative organisms. Unfortunately, the bacteria that cause pneumonia in goats are mostly gram-negative organisms, or they are organisms that don't even have a cell wall, something to stain. And the way that penicillin works is by attacking the cell wall. So if you grab penicillin, it's probably the worst thing you could give, only because it's not really geared to work against pneumonia, as well as some of our other products. And if you choose to use an antibiotic, you've tied the hands a bit of your veterinarian. So if you grab an antibiotic, let's say you grab penicillin and you give it to your animal, that antibiotic works by going after that cell wall and killing the bacteria. It literally just kills them. Now, we might want to use a different antibiotic that will be better, that might work best for your goat. We might want to use something like an oxytetracycline, but oxytetracycline or LA200, that works by stopping growth of bacteria. Well, if you already killed the bacteria or killing some of them, giving them the one that stops the growth doesn't make much sense. So we have to try to stay on the same kind of path of that killing antibiotic in order to keep momentum moving. So I caution people with grabbing an antibiotic off the shelf and saying, I'm going to go ahead and use this, because your veterinarian might come and be like, well, now I only can use this type of product. I would have gone with something different. Right now, over the counter, we've got penicillin and oxytetracycline. As of 2023, that's going to change. We're going to actually lose all of our over the counter antimicrobials. Well, I should say antibiotics that are medically important to humans, which include tetracyclines and penicillin. So we're going to lose the capability to have access to those medications, those products. So we're going to have to use the veterinary prescriptions for those. But right now, over the counter, those are available. And if you're in a total pinch and you can't get a hold of your veterinarian, and you need to do something, the oxytetracycline is going to have maybe a more broad spectrum approach versus a penicillin. Now, again, I'm not encouraging you to go buy tetracycline and only use tetracycline. I would encourage strongly that you call your veterinarian, get an idea of what they want to do first. If they say, oh yeah, that's a great idea, let's go with the tetracycline, I would choose to use that anyway, then go for it. But again, most of the time for pneumonia, unless the veterinarian is highly suspicious that it's a bacteria that won't respond to the Naxxel, that's going to be the choice that your veterinarian is going to go for, and that's a prescription. what's beautiful about that Nextel, and I don't work for Zoetis, I think, who makes it, or whatever company makes Nextel. But what's beautiful about that antibiotic, you have to reconstitute it, powder, and you put water in there to reconstitute it. You can use it and then freeze it and unthaw it and use it again one time. And that's on the label. That's been tested and tried. So that's kind of nice, because you might have an animal with pneumonia and you buy a bottle of that, and maybe it's only this big, but it's 20 mils and you might only use 5 mils of it. Well, you can freeze it and unthaw it later and use it again. And again, I, as a veterinarian, I have to say, for my legal reasons, calling the vet and getting that prescription of Nextel is the best thing you could do. But in a pinch, if you are just out of luck, you have no veterinarian who can get to you nearby, no one can talk to you, oxytetracycline will be more broad spectrum than using a penicillin. What you never want to use, and this your vet shouldn't even have given it to you, and if they have, then that's no good because it is completely illegal, is Baytril. Enterofloxacin, which is a completely prescription-only antibiotic, but if you have it for your cows, you have it for your dog or something in your house from another prescription, do not use it in your goat. It is an illegal drug to use extra label, period, end of story. And goats are not on label for that product at all. So that is a big legal problem. Unfortunately, I've had seen people prescribe it for pneumonia in goats. And it is something that that vet could get in a lot of trouble for. You may not get any trouble unless you're milking those animals or you're selling some kind of product from them. And that comes up in your milk or meat, because that is a very important antibiotic for humans. And so it's only labeled to treat respiratory disease in cattle. So it's not labeled for goats, unfortunately. So yeah, long story short, I feel like I kind of was convoluted on my answer here, but I think it's important for me to point out that a lot of antibiotics are not labeled for goats. One, there's only one labeled antibiotic for goats, which is Nextel, which is prescription only. So I try to get that the best you can. If you have a good relationship with your vet, they should be comfortable sharing that with you as they kind of talk to you about what to look for pneumonia. Oxytetracycline is more broad spectrum, I'd say, than penicillin. So if in a total emergency situation where you absolutely have no access to a veterinarian and your veterinarian can't get to you, oxytetracycline would probably be a better option to grab off of the shelf, just because you're going to have a little bit more coverage with that antibiotic. Again, try to consult that veterinarian. They may say, yeah, go ahead and use that and we'll get you an Nextel as soon as we can. They may say, yeah, let's just try it and see what happens. Later down the line, we can switch up our options. So keep that in mind. Try to keep an open mind with that vet. If you don't have a vet, try to get one soon, because we're not going to have any over-the-counter antibiotics soon. So we're going to all be kind of forced to utilize veterinarians, which my opinion is a good idea, but I'm a vet, so I'm a little biased. So hopefully that's helpful. I know it's a lot of information, but hopefully that was a little helpful.
Yeah, definitely. And so I have heard all kinds of craziness. So there's the part of me, like as a person who might need an antibiotic, I like being able to go to the store and buy it.
Yeah.
But I have heard all kinds of craziness. I have heard people say that they were giving, you know, antibiotic injections to their goat for 2 weeks and it wasn't getting any better. Or like, oh, I gave it to her for 5 days and she got better. And then a couple of weeks later, she started coughing again. So I started giving it to her again. Can you talk about how long should you use an antibiotic? And then what do you do if it doesn't clear up?
Absolutely. I agree with you, Deborah. Like people like you, I'd be happy with you going over and getting medication because you are somebody who does a lot of research and you look into things. And obviously you host this podcast, which is just such great information for people all over the place. And so you understand how these antibiotics can be very helpful. What we do see, as you mentioned, is abuse of the antibiotics. And that's a lot of the reason why it's being removed from over the counter, because we've seen a lot of inappropriate use of antibiotics. And so as a veterinarian, one of my goals in life is to practice what we call judicious use of antibiotics. So we only really use them if we absolutely have to. And that's kind of the point of our conversation today, is saying coughing goat, not necessarily needing an antibiotic. If you get an antibiotic over the counter, you're going to use it. I would recommend for a penicillin, something like that, those antibiotics need to be given over the course of multiple days. Now, I would say with a penicillin, again, I wouldn't use that first for pneumonia, but giving one dose of penicillin is completely inappropriate. You have to give multiple doses. And what I tend to recommend is 5 to 7 days of treatment with penicillin. That's once a day for 5 to 7 days. Giving it for a month and a half is probably less than ideal if you're not seeing any improvements. For something like oxytetracycline, that, especially if you're using like an LA-200, That LA stands for long acting. It's supposed to act longer and last longer. Now, I know goats have a faster metabolism than some of our other farm animal species, but that doesn't mean that we can give a goat LA200 once a day for 2 weeks. Nothing is benign. Anything you give to an animal is going to compromise their organs, because that's what kidney or liver is being used to filter out and get rid of this antibiotic. So we don't want to overwhelm either of those organs and lead to kind of kidney or liver failure due to the fact that we've given them too much antibiotics over the course of time. I typically recommend with my oxytetracycline, I recommend every other day for anywhere from 2 to 3 treatments and see how things are going. We should see response from those animals in that time frame. If you're not seeing a response, that might be a great time to go ahead and either call the veterinarian if you haven't done that yet, or switch up your antibiotic to something different. My goal in life is that my clients are as autonomous as they want to be. I don't want my clients to feel like I'm always breathing down their neck about stuff, but I got to know that you're using products correctly. Just like Deborah said, it's completely inappropriate to give antibiotics for like 5 days and then 2 weeks later start them again because the problem is back. Probably there's something else going on there, right? So this is where veterinarians are going to definitely come into play and be helpful for you, whether it's someone you're consulting with over telemedicine, which is something that might have to happen more often now that we have underserved areas that don't have veterinarians, and we might need to be better about helping service them, get them the medications that they need, but also help teach our clientele how to use them better. So I think the key thing to remember is that, one, antibiotics are not benign. They mess with not only the kidney and liver, but they can mess with the rumen microflora and fauna. They can cause your animals to go off feed because you're basically treating their healthy bugs too. It's not just necessarily going after the bad bugs. Two, if an antibiotic has been given over the course of more than 5 to 7 days, it's probably not going to work if we're not seeing improvement of some kind. Now, gauging that improvement may be challenging, but I would definitely recommend taking a temperature and then following along with daily temperatures to see if your fever is going down. See if your breathing gets any better. See if that animal starts eating more. Those are signs that things are working. If that's not happening, it's not working. If it's a cough with no fever, great appetite, no nasal discharge, normal breathing, it doesn't need antibiotics. So that in of itself is a sign that you probably shouldn't continue giving the medications. And when in doubt, you know, and really I'd recommend it first and then kind of moving forward with a plan, call the veterinarian, get some advice, figure out what is best to do now. And I know some of you are like, I don't have a vet that does goats. I know that. And I hear you. And my mission as an academician who works in academia is to teach my students to go out there and become your veterinarians in the future. That's what I want to do for you. But for now, bear with us. Try to consult with people, whether it be telemedicine with your veterinarian that's maybe a couple hours away, and ask them questions about how to move about doing this process. And especially when we take off antibiotics from over the counter, I think that's going to become more and more prevalent, that you're going to have the opportunity to work with your veterinarian in a different way. But yeah, keep in mind, if there is no improvement with that antibiotic, it probably is not working. So stop giving it, switch it up. Talk to somebody who might have a little bit more medical knowledge who can give you a little bit more better idea.
Okay, that is so good to know.
Yeah.
One thing that somebody recently asked me about, and it's kind of surprised me because I actually had not heard anybody ask this before, but you know, they say if one person's asking, there's other people with the same 100%. Question. So there is a pneumonia vaccine, I think, for cattle. Mm-hmm. And so somebody was asking about giving that to their goats. And my response was, pneumonia is really not a big problem in goats. So I wouldn't do it. I mean, and it's off label even.
Exactly. Absolutely. I'm so glad you brought this up. I wanted to make sure we talked about this before we ended our show today. So there are multiple vaccines for cattle respiratory disease. As Deborah said, there's absolutely no labeled vaccination for goats or sheep at this time in this country. That being said, there are cattle vaccinations. And a lot of people do say, okay, I'm going to go ahead and use the cattle vaccine, because they read the box, right? You read the box, you read the bottle. And if you read the box or bottle, it'll say the viruses that affect cattle are listed on there. All of them except for one start with bovine. So that could tell you right there that probably isn't going to work in a caprine. So if it's bovine respiratory syncytial virus, bovine viral diarrhea virus, infectious bovine rhinotracheitis, those are all viruses that affect cattle, right? The only virus there that there may have been some cross protection is that respiratory syncytial virus. There is a caprine and ovine form of that, but there's no real evidence to show that in the virus side of things, that vaccine for cows is going to do anything for your goats. So there's absolutely no proven literature, no studies. Everything would be empirical, meaning it would come from somebody who's done it before and said they had improvement. But I would go back to Deborah's point that goat pneumonia is not extremely common. So I would say that improvement, I wonder what has improved, right? Whether it's weight gain or is it less coughing goats or what is the improvement there? The other vaccination that's available for cattle is a bacterial vaccination. So the bacteria that cause respiratory disease in goats and cattle are kind of similar. They actually have the same names. The big ones are Mannheimia hemolytica and Pasteurella multifida. So those two different bacteria are similarly named in goats and cattle. The difference, though, is that they are different serotypes. So cattle have a serotype, goats have a serotype. The vaccine currently available on the market is for the cattle serotype, and there's absolutely no evidence at all it protects against the goat serotype. So if you're dealing with bacterial pneumonia, the vaccine for the cows, where we might see some cross-protection with the virus, with one specific virus, there's no proof, no evidence, nothing that says goats will benefit from being vaccinated with a cattle vaccine. Again, nothing's benign. Goats can have anaphylactic reactions just as much as anything. So if you're using that product with no obvious benefit and you're just giving it just in case, the likelihood you're going to get an anaphylactic reaction one day is probably pretty high because obviously there's no evidence it's going to do something good, but there's a chance it'll do something bad. And that anaphylaxis has been proven that can happen in goats and sheep and really anything, right? Anything can have a reaction to something injected. So if it were me, I probably wouldn't waste my money purchasing cattle vaccines for respiratory disease and giving it to my goats. And I'm taking some of this information from some of my colleagues. And one of my colleagues said, I'm not going to sit here in my office and tell you to stop doing something that works. So if it's working for you and you feel like you're getting positive results from vaccinating your goats with a respiratory vaccine, more power to you. I can't prove it actually works. I don't encourage my clients to do it, but I'm not going to tell you, hey, stop doing that if you feel like it works. I can only say that there's no evidence and the likelihood that you could have a problem from this vaccine or this injection is probably pretty high just because you're adding one more thing to inject into your goat, which you may not need to do. So my personal preference, don't stress about vaccines for respiratory disease. Try to manage things based on environment. Try to manage things based on stress level. You know, where we do see a lot of pneumonia issues is goats that are moved around a lot. So if you're selling your goats to someone in Wyoming and you're in Pennsylvania, there's a risk that they're going to get respiratory disease from that, right? Because their immune systems are really stressed and mostly it'll be viral. So even then the bacteria may not come into play. So I recommend trying to manage rather than prevent with injectable products when it comes to goats.
When I first got my goats, I bought the first three from a lady in Wisconsin who told me that the most important thing was air quality. And basically the goats go outside every day, unless it's pouring or blizzarding or something. They go outside every day so they can get fresh air. They have a nice thick coat of cashmere to keep themselves warm. As long as they've got a windbreak, as long as they're not wet and as long as they're not in the wind, they'll be warm. Even in our crazy Illinois and Wisconsin winters. And, you know, like, I feel like that's worked because, like I said, in 20 years, I've had one case of pneumonia. So I think air quality is just hugely important. And I've known people who've like driven themselves crazy, like they're cleaning out their barn every day. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no. Yeah. I know I was first really creeped out when I heard about the whole idea of deep litter, but yeah, you only are going to push a wheelbarrow through snow so many times before you say, this is crazy. I'm not doing this anymore. So we basically keep the door open on the east side of our barn every day, all the time, so that ammonia can escape. And just one side, that way air is not whipping through there. So there's no breeze. You know, they say that it should be well ventilated, but not drafty.
That is a perfect quote. That's like textbook quote. Yep. No, absolutely. Yeah. And that's hard to achieve, like sometimes because you don't know what that means necessarily, right? I agree with you wholeheartedly, though. I think if you're concerned about the ammonia levels in your barn, get down on your hands and knees. That's what I recommend. Get down on your hands and knees and see what the goats are breathing in on a daily basis. Because that ammonia will have effects on your mucociliary apparatus, that can have effects on your lungs. So get down on those hands and knees and crawl around. It sounds crazy, but I mean, I've done it, you know, crawl around in the barn, smell what they smell, get an idea how overwhelming it is. And it'll tell you if you need to increase your air quality by increasing your ventilation, or if you need to go in there and do some spot cleaning or mucking and get some of that manure material, urine material out of there. I 100% agree with you that air quality is huge. You can also, if you're ever concerned, this is something we do in a lot of calf barns, take in a fogger, like that you'd use for insect removal, but like put some kind of coloring into the water that you're going to use in the fogger and let it, that whole barn fill with that fog. See where that air goes. Does it leave or does it just sit there? Is there a lot of cracks in your barn that colored air disappears through that makes it drafty? Or is it nice and kind of just flowing through and you can see it kind of moving around the barn and back out? We do that to check ventilation in a lot of calf barns, and I think you could easily do that in a small ruminant barn. Obviously, you have to be able to close yourself in that barn and see how things would move, or keep that door open and see, you know, if it's sucking right out or what happens with it. But that air quality, that's one way to manage yourself around ammonia rather than just throw treatments and medication at it.
Yeah, this has been really amazing information today that you've shared. Is there anything else that people need to know about pneumonia and preventing it, treating it, anything?
You know, I think we've covered a lot, and I'm really happy that we were able to talk about this. It's something that I think is really important to discuss. You know, I think my one end would always be utilize your veterinarian if you have one in your area. If you don't, you know, tell people about it and say we need a vet in our area. And utilize the services that a veterinarian will provide you. And keep in mind that a cough does not equal horrible bacterial pneumonia. I know we've stressed that a lot, but there's a reason we've stressed that a lot. It's very important to remember that coughing goats does not equal pneumonia. So don't run and reach for the nearest antibiotic and throw that at them. And thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you for being with us today.
Of course.
And that's it for today's show. If you haven't already done so, be sure to hit the subscribe button so that you don't miss any episodes. To see show notes, you can always visit fortheloveofgoats.com. And you can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/lovegoatspodcast. See you again next time. Bye for now.